So Hoshea Perek Zion continues with, not surprisingly, the sins. Yay, people sin. So first thing that you see is the corruption in Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. Again, Kirafi Yisrael, V'niglav on Ephraim v'Rosh Shamron kifalu sheker, V'ganav yavo pashat gedud b'chutz. Right, so God says to them, listen, people. When I want to heal them, that's how Rashi understands this, right? When I wanted to heal them, I discovered their sin. You know, their sin. They're great. And the horrible thing Shomron is on because they've been lying and stealing and acted treacherously, and thieves are breaking in. And they do not consider that I remember all their wickedness. They're like, look, if we're wicked enough, no one will be able to remember everything we do. At some point, like, no, what? Hashem
The
says,
book's only that big.
surprise, I do remember. And therefore, all their sins are surrounding me right now. So in malice, they make a king marry. Right? Right? Meaning the king likes this. Right? Because the sick irony here, as they point out in the footnote here in Dot Mikra, is that that the king is supposed to, his job, literally, is to be just. He's supposed to be just, and not right. He does not do this, right? Kulam min afim kamo tanur bo'era me'ofe yishbot me'ir milush batzeg ad chumtzato. And now he has this extended metaphor for four psukim about the corruption of the kings, and he compares them to an oven. Okay, so he says they're all adulterers, like, and their desire is like a burning oven, right? Like that image of fiery passion, right? Yes, right. That's like a standard image of passion being fiery, and the only time they stop stoking the fire is while they are kneading, right, kneading the dough itself. Meaning basically they take like short breaks to plan out their next crime, right? That's what they do. Okay, let's take a minute, figure it out. Okay, let's do it again. Right. Yo Malkeinu Achluzarim Kocho Vuhulo Yada Gam Sevazar Kubo Vuhulo Yada. The day they made our king sick and officials with the poison of wine, they gave his hands to traitors. He didn't know. No, wait, I just skipped a pasuk, didn't I? Wait, did I skip? Yep, there we go. I was like, something didn't work there. Yom Malkeinu Echelu Sarim Chamat Miyayin Mashach Yado Et Lotzitzim. Right? So they made him sick with wine. Ki kervu katanur libam ba'arbam kololai yasheno fehem boker huvo er ke'esh le'ava. Right, they approach with their ambush with the hearts like an oven. Again, this oven. Throughout the night, the baker has slept, and in the morning, it flares up like a blazing fire. Right? So, sometimes the oven, you let it cool down a little bit while you're sleeping, and then as soon as you wake up, back up. Right? So, sometimes maybe they take a break from their murder and their znut and whatever, and then, light it back up. Kulam yichamu katanur v'achlu et shoftehem kol malchem nafalu en karevehem Eli. Right? And all these officers, they all just heat up their hatred and their passion and whatever, like a big oven, and they eat the shoftim. Right? Not literally, but, they consume justice and, I don't know, the good judges. And then they don't bother davening to me, which is good because, God wouldn't listen to them, these horrible, horrible people. And he says, not only that, but you are corrupt in international affairs, as we've talked about, right? They are Ephraim, ba'amimu yitbalal. Ephraim hu'gab li'afucha. Ephraim is among all the people. She's rotting away like a cake incapable of turning. Yeah, I know. Wow. Fighting words there. Now, of course, not surprisingly, JPS says...
Meaning of Hebrew uncertain.
Everyone's favorite phrase. Right? Right? The way Dot Mikra says, it's like, yeah, it's someone who forgets to turn over a loaf of bread, so it gets unnaturally burned on one side and inedible on the other. Yeah, that's basically you. What? Yeah, right? That's what he said, Rove of the Mepharshim Asu. Right? You are inedible. You are inedible. Cannibals don't like you either, right? You are, anyways. Achluz, achluz arim gachol v'hulo yada gam sevazar gachol v'hulo yada. Right? Strangers have consumed your strength. Right? And this is, you know, classic, right? Which is, you think, right? This is the classic message of the Nevi'im over and over again. Is you think what you're doing is smart. It's not. You don't even realize that you're sapping away your strength, right? You think you're turning to Mitzrayim that's going to strengthen you. You think you're turning to Ashur that'll strengthen you, right? All these treaties you're making with these superpowers are just weakening your standing, just politically, right? Is that you think that you're saving yourself not by turning to God, by turning to geopolitics. You don't understand the deals you're making. Right? They're bringing your own downfall. Right? That's the major tragedy in general in these Nevi'im on a political level. Right, is that they're being given free advice from God, which is, listen, this is not who you want to make a covenant with. Not them either. You know what you want to do? You want to ignore all of them because they're all jerks. They're all horrible people. They're going to destroy you. I like I said, you know, one of the things that disturbs me every time I read Tanakh and any of these Nevo'ot is I'm just like, don't think too much about what this means for modern Israel. Just take a deep breath. And don't think too much about the weird, you know, important and at the same time sometimes deeply problematic treaties that we have with all types of superpowers. You know, it's a very hard situation, right? And I'm not saying not to have it, God forbid. So that's right, that's obviously the opposite. I'm not saying we shouldn't, but it happens to be, right, that a lot of our problems in Israel have come from that. Right, where before America was really, you know, our strongest ally, right, until the 60s, we relied on France, and that was, you know, almost our downfall because we ran out of weapons when France decided, you know what, we like the other side, right, or we're going to put an embargo on selling you weapons, right, like these things, and a lot of, you know, Israel's wars, what decided who got weapons? The Cold War, right? Right, it was about the Cold War, right? It was great war. It was great power politics, right? Everyone was trying to figure out which side are you going to be on. Well, you see it now, right? The whole realignment of the Middle East, right, is all about great power politics and great power politics leaving the region, right? It's somewhat in, it's somewhat out, right? And you see how messy it can get. But now he says, listen. So what's the real problem? Is that things are getting messy, right? Things are getting messy. And what should you do? So did I skip Tet? Yeah, I did. No, I didn't. He said, you've been humbled, right? So you've been humbled, right? Things aren't going well. So what would you expect? You'd go to God. Right, if it doesn't work, right, it doesn't work. All the deals you're making with Mitzrayim and with Ashur and all that stuff, you know, it's not great. So, you know, in the back corner, you know, you have God. You might want to turn to Him. Maybe that'll be more effective. Well, that's what they said. That's what they said. Thank you. Thank you. So Noam is right. Noam is right. That's what they said. Is, we have whatever. I you. And he said, instead, Oshe, being very nice, said, instead, Vahi Ephraim Kayona Pota Ein Lev, Mitzrayim Karu Asher Alachu. Instead, you act like a silly dove with no mind, right? And you just fly back and forth. Oh, you go to Egypt, you go to Assyria, Egypt, Assyria, Egypt, right? You're like a bird without a head, you know? Right?
But exactly. Isn't, like, the image of the Yona, like from like Noah, like it's a.
But this is a silly one, a foolish dove, right? Because yes, the Yona is often the image of the Jews. Yeah. You are a dove, but not a smart dove in this particular case, because you know you're going Mitzrayim. Sure, Mitzrayim. Sure, Mitzrayim. Sure. And like I said, what just keeps, you know, in my mind is like, yeah, like you're thinking Israel in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and it's like, you know, Russia, America, right? It's not like the only reason they ended up really in America's corner was eventually decided, America decided that it was, you know, in their best interests to. I'm trying to figure out what book that is. Yeah. What? On the shelf, it's fine. Anyways, Kasher Yelecho Efros Aleim Rishti Kofashamim Oridem Ayisraim Geshem Alabam. He said, well, as long as you're a bird, I'm going to throw my net on you like a bird, and I'm going to take you down and torture you, punish you, right? Chastise you. Because, you know, this is what I told you not to do. Right, so we have that these leaders are immoral, right, to each other. To others, they don't follow God's path in international politics. You know, it's bad. All the things I told you not to do, you're doing because you're bad. Now, not surprisingly, how does the parag end? What do you think? Punishment! Yay! So woe to them for straying from me. Destruction to you for rebelling against me. For I was their redeemer and you have plotted treason against me. And you didn't cry out to me sincerely. Right? Instead, they, right? This is like this, you know, you commit adultery on your beds, right? For Dagon and Tirosh instead. Right? You know, you go to those other gods for food. Right? I could give you food. Right? Who are you cheating on? Right? I braced, I turned their arms. They plotted evil against me. I gave you everything you have. Yashuvu lo al ayukakeshit rimya yiplu vacherev sarayem nizam lushonam zula agam beretz Mitzrayim. They've come back. They've been of no use. This lack bow, their offer shall fall by the sword because of the stammering of their tongues. Such shall be the result of their jabbering in the land of Egypt. Right? You stupid, stupid people. Now, these ideas come up over and over throughout the book, right? So if you would turn to Perek Tet, Pasuk Tet Vav, right, you would see, right, these are themes that, right, that Kol Ragam Ba-Gilgal, Kisam Sineitim, Arom Aleim, Ibeit Yagar Shem, Lo Sivav Adam, Kel Sarim Ba-Rim, right, this critique of the Sarim, right, these images come up, and again, the Shchitut you'll find in Perek Yudbet, right, these... It is possible that some of this treason they're talking about against the king or all those assassinations and treasons that we have at the end of Sefer Melachim. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, interestingly, and this is your point, right, is the Yonah. I'll leave you with this point, right, is the Gemara says, what's the image of the Yonah? So normally it's one of Ne'amanut. Right, that's the whole point, is that the Gemara there says, my dichtiv vine Amar Rabbi Yirmi ben Elazar, my dichtiv vine alei zayit taraf b'fiha. Right, why does it have an olive? Because Amra Yonah lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, the Jews say to God, Ribono Shel Olam, God, yihyu mizonotai mirurin kezayit umusurim yadecha. Let my food be bitter, like the olive, but be come from you. Vali metukin kedvash etlun biad basar adam. And not as sweet as honey, would be contingent on people. And when you realize that's Chazal, what Chazal think the image of the Yonah is, you understand that this is the exact opposite. Right? You're the silly Yonah, because now I was going to give you food. Right? Not bitter food. Right? Right? The image of the Yonah for Chazal in Noach is you're willing to have any food as long as God gives it to you and not rely on people. And here it's the exact opposite. It's that God says, I have good food for you. And they say, is someone talking? I'm sorry, we're too busy going to Ashur and Mitzrayim, Ashur and Mitzrayim. And they end up returning to Mitzrayim, which is the epitome of...
undoing the...
Yeah, right? Like, that is the epitome, right? It's just the epitome of...
spitting in the face.
Yeah, right. So you get the, and some of these themes you're going to see are going to come over and over, right? Return to Galut, Shibud, right? The right, going back to Mitzrayim, forgetting God, etc. And Perek Tet, as we'll see, Perek Tet is really going to push the Galut point. We should probably start, I see in my notes that the last time I taught Hashem many, many years ago, this is what I did. Is that once we got to the second half of the book, we started running because the themes start repeating over and over. These are the sins. These are the punishments. These are the sins. These are the punishments. Right? And at some point, right, they start, right, cross-referencing. So maybe we'll do that. But let's stop. That's